Welcome to the reading of the Worcester Business Journal. It is Wednesday, 11 a.m. This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Today, we will be reading from the latest edition. This program is brought to you in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. This is Joanne with Paul reading to you live from the Patricia A. Fletcher Studio at Audio Journal in Worcester, Massachusetts. And now I will hand it over to Paul.
Thank you, Joanne, and good morning to our listeners. Our first story, Ashland Investor buys Marlboro Plaza for $4 million. The Longfellow Plaza in Marlboro is under new ownership following a $4 million sale. Ashland-based real estate investor Hitesh Arora purchased the plaza located at 449-451 Boston Post Road East in a deal finalized last Monday, according to the Middlesex South Registry of Deeds. The property was purchased from Longfellow Plaza LLC, a Marlboro-based entity managed by James and Judith Winsky. Arora focuses his investments on retail properties, especially smaller strip malls, along with some multifamily assets, according to a 2023 interview with India New England News. He owns a small retail building at 158 Union Avenue in Framingham, according to registry records. Constructed in 1982, Longfellow Plaza contains a mix of retail and office space totaling 30,394 square feet, according to CoStar. Tenants at the plaza include Longfellow Plaza Laundry, CP Tax Services, and a branch of Lawrence-based Brightbridge Credit Union, according to Google Maps. The 2.8-acre plaza comprises two parcels, which received a combined 2026 assessment of $3.6 million, according to City of Marlboro property records. For our next story, Boston law firm opens Central Massachusetts office for former Merrick Fletcher attorneys. Boston-based law firm Reuben Rudman has opened a Westboro office focused on personal planning and elder law. Located at 1500 West Park Drive, Suite 210, Reuben Rudman's new location will serve as the base for Lisa Neely and Amy McIntyre, two attorneys focused on elder law with experience at two of Central Massachusetts' highest profile law firms. Neely specializes in Medicaid eligibility and appeals, special needs and estate planning, probate and trust administration, and guardianship and conservatorship. She was named to Boston Magazine's Top Lawyers for Elder Law and Massachusetts Super Lawyers Top 50 Women Lawyers each year from 2022 to 2025. McIntyre focuses on trust, estate, and elder law, and is a member of the Worcester County Bar Association and the Real Estate Bar Association. She was admitted to the Massachusetts Bar in 2024. Before joining Reuben Rudman, both Neely and McIntyre worked at Worcester-based law firm Merrick. McIntyre was at Merrick from 2011 to 2022, while Neely was at Merrick from 2016 to 2022, having joined that firm after a six-year stint at Worcester-based Fletcher Tilton, according to their LinkedIn profiles. The Westboro location will offer more convenient access for the firm's many Metro West clients, John McGivney, managing partner at Reuben Rudman, said in a recent announcement regarding the new office. The Westboro site joins other satellite Reuben Rudman offices in Andover and Woburn. Next, opioid deaths fall below 1,000 for the first time in 13 years. The number of opioid-related overdose fatalities fell below 1,000 for the first time in more than a decade in 2025, state health officials said last Friday, marking a significant improvement since Massachusetts broke a devastating record just a few years ago. There were 978 confirmed and estimated opioid-related overdose deaths among Massachusetts residents last year, the Department of Public Health said. That represents a nearly 27% decrease over the 1,336 deaths in 2024, which also saw a sharp drop in fatal overdoses. DPH says the declining trend mirrors data unfolding nationally. This progress experienced by families across the Commonwealth as years of extra joy and life is the result of a comprehensive and collaborative public health response that has prioritized evidence-based care, community partnership, and compassion, Health and Human Services Secretary Kyami Mahania said. Data show us that providing access to housing, harm reduction, treatment options, and supportive peer communities works to prevent overdose, and the Commonwealth will continue its commitment to supporting and expanding access to these tools and services. A 2024 law expanded access to overdose reversal drugs like naloxone, installed liability protections for providers and organizers offering drug checking services, and established licensure for recovery coaches. The law did not include a Senate-backed provision to legalize supervised injection sites, and proposals to do so this session are before the House and Senate Ways and Means Committee. Overdose deaths, which claimed more than 2,000 lives annually between 2016 and 2023, reached a record high of 2,364 in 2022. The last time Massachusetts recorded less than 1,000 overdose fatalities was in 2013, when the opioid epidemic claimed the lives of 992 Bay Staters. While a 27% decrease in opioid overdose deaths is encouraging and reflects the impact of sustained investments in prevention, harm reduction, treatment, and recovery support, we must never lose sight of the fact that behind every data point is a person, a loved one, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, Deirdre Calvert, director of DPH's Bureau of Substance Addiction Services, said. DPH said it is still analyzing the latest data and will release more insights later this summer about how the decrease is reflected across Massachusetts communities. In its recent report on overdoses in 2024, DPH offered three hypotheses for that year's decrease, including a potentially safer street drug supply, fewer people at risk of overdoses, and expanded overdose prevention resources and services. DPH says overdose deaths rose from 2013 to 2022 due to the increasing and erratic fentanyl concentrations in the drug supply. But xylazine, a sedative approved for veterinary use, has become increasingly common and the state's drug supply between 2020 and 2024. One hypothesis is that using drugs containing xylazine may protect from fatal overdose by increasing the length of time that people are sedated after using, therefore decreasing the total number of use events, the report says. Another hypothesis is that due to the sedative effects of xylazine, suppliers may reduce the amount of fentanyl in their product. For our next story, Massachusetts Energy Summit to focus on business strategies controlling costs. Registration is open for the Massachusetts Energy Summit, which will take place at the Hogan Campus Center in Worcester next Tuesday, June 16. The summit is a Worcester Business Journal and National Grid hosted event and will include keynote remarks from Elizabeth Mahoney, the Commissioner of Massachusetts Department of Energy Resources, as well as two panels about using energy as a business asset and strategies for controlling energy costs. Registration is available online. The event will begin with a 7:30 a.m. breakfast, followed by remarks beginning at 8:20 a.m. The summit will run until shortly after noon. Over the course of the morning, the intersection of energy and business logistics will be approached from multiple angles, including opportunities for energy upgrades and clean energy transitions, resources for supporting energy efficiency, the role of market forces and energy choices, and success stories from organizations that have shifted their energy usage. Panelists will hail from government, higher education, energy companies, and more. Next, Spectrum Health Systems opening a $13.4 million Lowell Treatment Center. Westboro-based Spectrum Health Systems is expanding into Lowell with the opening of a new Substance Use and Mental Health Disorder Treatment Center. The new center will open in June later in June, I should say, and features a 16-bed inpatient detoxification program, a 44-bed clinical stabilization services program for short-term residential treatment, and outpatient services, which include addiction treatment and counseling. The center will be located at 10 Technology Drive, according to an announcement made last Friday. The Lowell Center is co-located with a program operated by Cambridge-headquartered Health and Human Services nonprofit VinFen, which offers an alternative to emergency rooms and incarceration for individuals experiencing behavioral health crises. The arrangement will allow for more seamless transitions into Spectrum's treatment services, according to Spectrum. Spectrum purchased the 52,000-square-foot building in Lowell for $9.4 million, with plans to invest an additional $4 million to renovate the site. Spectrum President and CEO Kurt Isaacson told the Worcester Business Journal in February the nonprofit focused on Lowell because the city has one of the highest rates of opioid-related emergency room visits in the state. When open, the new center will join existing Spectrum residential locations in Westboro and Weymouth. Spectrum is the sixth largest human services nonprofit in central Massachusetts, with nearly $124 million in revenue as of 2024, according to information provided to the WBJ Research Department. The organization was founded in 1969. Our next story. Developer proposes plaza next to trolley yard, anchored by two restaurants. A Natick development firm is planning a new shopping plaza on Worcester's Grove Street, with two national casual dining restaurant chains planned as tenants. Stonegate Development has submitted plans to the Worcester Planning Board, calling for the construction of three buildings totaling 17,100 square feet at the intersection of Grove and Brookfield Streets, directly across from the Trolley Yard Plaza. The plaza would contain two new restaurant buildings and a five-tenant retail building with 152 parking spaces. The restaurant space is set for locations of Washington, D.C.-based Mediterranean chain Cava and Florida-based breakfast and lunch cafe chain First Watch, according to planning board documents. The site would be First Watch's first location in central Massachusetts. The company was founded in California in 1983, moved its headquarters to Florida, and has 633 locations across the country, according to Restaurant Business Online. First Watch reported same-store sales growth of 3.6% in 2025 as it opened 64 new restaurants. James McGrath, vice president at Stonegate, told WBJ, the city of Worcester has been easy to work with on previous projects. We like the co-tenants at our property and then also nearby in the area, McGrath said. It's great to be surrounded by so many colleges, institutions, and businesses. The Cava location would be the brand's second central Massachusetts location, joining its Framingham location. Known for health-focused bowls and pita wraps, Cava has more than 400 restaurants across the country, according to its website. Stonegate purchased the five-parcel property at 278-284 Grove Street for $2 million in December 2022, according to the Worcester District Registry of Deeds. The company demolished buildings at the site ahead of redevelopment. Stonegate described the site in a 2022 company announcement as one of the last redevelopment parcels in the Grove Street corridor. The proposed plaza is across Brookfield Street from a Middlesex Savings Bank branch operated by Stonegate and opened in January 2024. The project is scheduled to be heard at the Planning Board's June 24 meeting. In addition to receiving approval from the Planning Board, the project will require sign-offs from the Worcester Conservation Commission. For our next story, McGovern purchases headquarters of its police cruiser outfitter business for $13.5 million. Newton-based McGovern Auto Group has purchased the headquarters of its specialty police, fire, and municipal vehicle business in Marlborough for $13.5 million. McGovern Auto bought the site at 401 Elm Street on Friday from Florida-based EJR Real Estate Trust, according to the Middlesex South Registry of Deeds. Before the purchase, McGovern leased the site from EJR. built in 1960 and renovated in 1988, the nearly 135,000 square foot building is the headquarters of McGovern MHQ, which McGovern acquired in 2023 to expand its municipal vehicle upfitting business. MHQ specializes in customizing automakers' standard vehicles with equipment and modifications to meet the demands of police, fire, and municipal service. MHQ has outfitted more than 100,000 municipal vehicles since the firm was founded in 1979, with additional locations elsewhere in Massachusetts and Connecticut. MHQ's facility contains 7 docks and 4 drive-in bays, with a 12.5-acre lot containing a large outdoor area for vehicle storage, according to CoStar. EJR first purchased the site for $10 million in 2013, according to registry records. Jim Glickman, Cody Miner, and Jonah Glickman of NAI Glickman, Covago, and Jacobs in Worcester represented the seller in the transaction. The sale demonstrates the strength of the Metro West industrial market, Jim Glickman said in a Friday announcement. The property received a 2026 assessment of $9.65 million, according to City of Marlborough property records. MHQ's facility is across Elm Street from a 45,829-square-foot flex building sold for $10 million in May in a separate transaction. And now for a short break.
What's your vision? People with disabilities adapt on a daily basis. They're people you want on your team. And we're here to help you find blind and visually impaired professionals to help you reach your organizational goals. Building an inclusive workforce where individuals with disabilities are welcome is possible thanks to Mass Commission for the Blind. Partner with them to hire individuals who are blind or visually impaired and reach your workforce goals. The success of your organization depends on the diversity of your team. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB to learn how you can become an employer partner for the blindness community. That's 1-800-392-6450 or mass.gov/MCB. What's your vision?
Welcome back to the reading of the Worcester Business Journal. It is 11:17 a.m. This is a production of Audio Journal. WBJ names Power 100 for 2026. The two main criteria for inclusion on WBJ's Power 100 are how much power does a central Massachusetts professional hold and how do they use it? CEOs of major public companies with billions in revenues certainly hold plenty of power, but if they don't use it to significantly influence the regional economy or community, they won't be included in the Power 100. Conversely, small business owners or vocal community advocates might generate little revenue and have no employees, but if they have innovative ideas or a wide-ranging impact, that merits serious consideration for the Power 100. So, WBJ's Power 100 isn't a list of people who hold the most power in Central Massachusetts economy. It's a list of people who most effectively wield their power to outsized influence on the region. The two extremes of the spectrum of influence in this year's Power 100 are John Jack Roach in the professional services section and Julia Morricone in the retail section. Roach leads Hanover Insurance Company Group with its $6.6 billion in annual revenue and 4,900 employees worldwide. He uses the power to ensure Hanover remains a market leader in the insurance industry and employs 1,600 professionals in this region, but he also ensures the company remains a strong corporate citizen. Morricone has 6 employees and $150,000 in annual revenue at her Mrs. Morricone's, but she was essential to the success of the pop-up vendors at the outdoor market on Exchange, which drew 25,000 visitors to an underutilized area of Worcester and spun off a handful of brick-and-mortar businesses. As always, the selection of this year's Power 100 was extraordinarily difficult, and at least another 150 professionals were seriously considered and just missed the cut. While I'm sure everyone's in this year's Power 100 is honored to be included, this list is not an award like WBJ's 40 under 40 or Business Leaders of the Year. Instead, this is an elaborate story about how power is shared and exercised in the Central Massachusetts business community as told through 100 professionals who wield it most effectively. And so we'll start off with some of these powerful people. First powerful person is Grace Wang. Wang is leading WPI through a period of growing research prominence and expanding economic influence. In 2025, the university achieved Carnegie R1 status, the highest classification for research universities, cementing its position as Central Massachusetts' leading research institution. Wang is now focused on broadening WPI's global impact while strengthening the region's innovation ecosystem through industry partnerships, workforce development, and the new Central Massachusetts Climate Tech Hub Incubator. Why do you do business in Central Mass? Central Massachusetts is a region defined by innovation, resilience, and collaboration. We are proud to be part of a community with world-class talent, strong industry partnerships, and a growing research and entrepreneurial ecosystem. What effort are you undertaking that will have the most impact on the Central Mass economy? WPI is working to strengthen Central Massachusetts as a connected innovation ecosystem where research, talent development, startups, industry, and workforce preparation are intentionally aligned for success. Next person is Donna Hodge. Hodge is helping redefine Fitchburg State's role as an economic and civic anchor for North Central Massachusetts. Since 2025, the university has strengthened enrollment, expanded partnerships with local schools, launched the Fitchburg Promise Program, and repositioned the long-stalled Main Street Theater block into a redevelopment project featuring market-rate housing, retail activity, and downtown revitalization. What unique skill, habit, or traits set you apart from others? I'm comfortable leading through uncertainty. Higher education is undergoing an enormous disruption, and leaders must be willing to make difficult decisions honestly, communicate transparently, and keep institutions moving forward even when the path ahead is imperfect. Why do you do business in Central Mass? I grew up in the community much like Fitchburg. I understood both the pride and the pressures that shape post-industrial communities, and institutions like Fitchburg State have a responsibility to help. How do you unwind? I love to cook, draw, tend to flowers and plants, and I'm learning to ukulele. The next person, Nancy Naomi. Naomi has elevated Framingham State University's profile while tackling challenges affecting higher education institutions across Metro West. Since 2025, the university completed a $39 million fundraising campaign, strengthened enrollment and retention, and launched efforts to ensure every undergraduate has access to a compensated work experience. She secured funding for a faculty and educational workforce housing project, addressing one of the region's most pressing affordability challenges. What unique skills set you apart from others? I am highly relational and am persistent in connecting frequently and meaningfully with everyone in our organization. What is one habit powerful leaders should practice every day? Actively listen to as many people within your organization as possible. Why do you do business in Central Mass? Our university is rooted in Central Massachusetts as it has been for 187 years. We are an anchor of place and committed to serving this region. How do you unwind? Walk and hike, cook and bake and read. Next person, Jay Anderson. Anderson sits at the intersection of education, healthcare, and community engagement, and the arts. As UMass Chan Medical School navigates a major leadership transition, he serves as a key bridge between the institution and the broader community. Anderson's appointment this year as chair of the Massachusetts Cultural Council has elevated his influence statewide, expanding his role in shaping cultural policy, partnerships, and investment across the Commonwealth. What unique skills set you apart from others? Someone once described me as a social architect, and it's that ability to connect and create across sectors and communities that sets me apart. Why do you do business in Central Mass? It's my second adopted home, and a special place where a young man without connections can work hard and make his family back home proud. Favorite book on leadership? Unreasonable Hospitality by Will Guidiara. How do you unwind? I've become a runner over the past couple of years, so I like to listen to the acquired podcasts and get some miles in, or work out with the Challenge Yourself fitness team. Next person, Vincent Rigaud. Rigaud leads the region's wealthiest and most economically influential higher education institution. In 2025, Holy Cross earned the Carnegie Community Engagement Classification and was credited with supporting $866 million in annual economic activity statewide, including $313 million in Worcester. The college welcomed more than 200,000 visitors, awarded $85 million in scholarship aid, and is expanding its impact through workforce development, research partnerships, and civic engagement. What unique skills set you apart from others? I strive to lead by listening first, whether engaging students, faculty, business leaders, or community partners. I believe meaningful progress begins with understanding different perspectives and building relationships grounded in trust, empathy, and shared purpose. How do you unwind? Listening to music, singing, hiking, bird watching, traveling, and spending quiet weekends with my family. Next person, Alan Seifert. Seifert has strengthened the Hanover Theater's role as both a cultural institution and an economic driver for downtown Worcester. Since 2025, the theater launched a dance series drawing nearly 5,000 attendees and a $200,000 in ticket revenue, surpassed 5,000 Broadway subscribers, and developed High Risk Ward, a new work from playwright Jamie Wax, now positioned for potential Broadway or off-Broadway future. His strategy blends artistic ambition with business discipline to expand Worcester's profile as a performing arts destination. What unique skills set you apart from others? My ability to fuse lifelong practitioners' understanding of live theater with rigorous legal training and executive business acumen. What is one habit powerful leaders should practice every day? Intentional listening every day, making time to truly hear customers, staff, volunteers, and community partners, and then making decisions with humility, clarity, and a commitment to shared purpose. What's your favorite book on leadership? Rebel Talent by Francesca Gino. What are your go-to media outlets? The New York Times, Deadline, and Puck. Next person, Noreen Johnson Smith. Johnson Smith is guiding one of Worcester's most historic cultural institutions through a period of expansion and renewed visibility. As the Egotarium marked its 200th anniversary in 2025, the museum welcomed more than 136,000 visitors, brought science education to 6,200 students in 247 classrooms, and raised $10.6 million toward a $12.5 million campaign. The new 8,000-square-foot started exhibition hall is helping attract regional visitors while positioning Worcester as a destination for major science exhibits. What is one habit powerful leaders should practice every day? Gratitude. Every leader should practice daily appreciation for the team that works together to achieve a vision and accomplish a goal, and for the supporters who help make progress possible. Why do you do business in Central Mass? Central Massachusetts, anchored by the city of Worcester, is one of the best parts of the country in which to live, learn, and do business. The community is collaborative, supportive, culturally diverse, caring, and values education and science. And now it's time for a break.
The Worcester Regional Transit Authority, also known as the WRTA, is a regional transit system that services the city of Worcester and the surrounding 36 communities in the central Massachusetts area, with a bus fleet that includes all-electric buses, as well as many diesel-electric hybrid buses. The second largest regional transit authority in Massachusetts, the WRTA offers reliable, comfortable, and safe transportation for traveling to work, shopping, school, medical appointments, and leisure activities. The WRTA also provides paratransit service for the elderly and disabled, as well as a variety of special services for those groups in the entire service area. For more information, visit the website at www.therta.com or call 508-791-9782.
Welcome back to the weekly reading of the Worcester Business Journal, a production of Audio Journal. The time is 11:31 a.m. For our next story, former Whitensville healthcare providers fined $779,000 for false MassHealth claims. The Massachusetts Attorney General's Office has fined former Whitensville healthcare providers $778,703 for allegedly submitting fraudulent MassHealth claims for applied behavior analysis services that were not provided. The company Flexible Fundamentals and its co-owners, Jennifer McGee and Arian McGrath, were named in the settlement. On top of filing claims for more hours of service than were actually provided, the AG's office said Flexible Fundamentals submitted claims for services provided by unsupervised paraprofessional behavioral technicians. MassHealth and its managed care entities require paraprofessionals in these positions to be supervised by licensed applied behavioral analysts. The issues referred to by the AG's office in its press release, with whom we've cooperated, related to events that occurred between 3.5 to 9 years ago, McGee said. Here at Pragmatic Minds, we are fully licensed and operational and focused on serving clients every day, as we have been for nearly 4 years, with referrals from major healthcare providers. McGrath could not be reached for comment. Applied behavioral analysis, commonly known as ABA, is a system of treatment primarily designed for children with autism spectrum disorder. The AG's office said in a press release that the Whitensville case represents a broader effort to crack down on fraudulent claims by ABA providers. Both McGrath and McGee have formed separate companies. McGee is behind Pragmatic Minds and Northbridge, and McGrath owns Social Perspectives for Everyone and Uxbridge. The AG's office said it will require both companies to put compliance and monitoring programs in place for 3 years and provide additional staff training. They will be subject to annual on-site audits by independent compliance monitors. For our next story, former Worcester strip club to become a daycare center after $2.7 million sale. A former Worcester strip club is set to gain a new lease on life as a daycare center following a $2.7 million sale. JoJo Investment, a Springfield-based entity managed by Suyun and Changing Lee, purchased 241 Southbridge Street in a deal finalized last Wednesday, according to Worcester District Registry of Deeds records. The sale included 63 Jackson Street, a roughly one-acre plot of land adjacent to the site containing a parking lot. The building at the site now features signs advertising Club Tiger Child Care, a brand of daycare, preschool, and after-school centers owned by Changgen Lee. Existing Club Tiger locations operate in Chicopee and Springfield, according to their Facebook pages. The site was once home to was once home of Club 241, an LGBTQ nightclub, according to a Museum of Worcester Facebook post from 2025. The property later housed several gentlemen's clubs operating under a variety of names, including Platinum Premier Gentlemen's Club and Emperor's Club, according to the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. The building, a two-story structure with a parking lot surrounded by a barbed wire fence, has been vacant since at least 2023, according to Google Street View images. The building was sold by Bridge South Real Estate Development, a Newton-based entity managed by Christopher Stevens. Bridge South purchased the site for $850,000 in 2003, according to registry records. The property was listed for sale by Andrea Castanetti of Shrewsbury-based Castanetti Realty Group and Michael Barbara of Rubric Commercial in Worcester. No permits have been issued for any changes to the buildings as of last Tuesday, according to City of Worcester records. The building at the site dates back to 1935. The 0.33-acre lot at 241 Southbridge Street was assessed at $874,000 in 2026, according to municipal property records, while 63 Jackson Street was assessed at $480,000. For our next story, state fast-tracks temporary loosening of alcohol laws before World Cup. Lawmakers last Monday sent a bill to Governor Maura Healey's desk that would allow bars to extend last call an hour past their license limit and enable cities and towns to establish designated public alcohol consumption districts throughout July 31st. Healey has 10 days to sign the bill, H547878 amended, into law, propose amendments, or to make vetoes. Healey backed the initial proposal in early June, writing to the Committee on Economic Development and Emerging Technologies that it presents a unique opportunity for local businesses to benefit from increased foot traffic, visitor spending, and renewed downtown activity in the midst of major summer tourism events like FIFA World Cup and 250th anniversary celebrations. The bill bounced between chambers last Monday after the Senate adopted Senator Julian Sear's language that would have extended the timetable allowable for public consumption in designated districts within cities and towns through September 7, and Senator Bruce Tarr's language relating to program reporting. The initial proposal by Representative Carol Fiola would have allowed extended last call season to begin on June 1st and run through August 31st. The iteration of the bill the House passed last Thursday would have taken effect Monday, June 8, and expire Friday, July 31. The specific start date was struck from the final version of the bill. Both chambers adopted emergency preambles to the final proposal, meaning it would take effect upon Healey's signature. Tarr's provision would ask the Executive Office of Economic Development, in consultation with the Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission, the Executive Office of Public Safety and Security, and the Department of Revenue, with reporting on the implementation and outcomes of the pilot program. My hope is that we can learn a great deal from this about behavior patterns, about public safety, about considerations that we may need to take into account in the future when we contemplate legislation that is of this nature, Tarr said on the floor. Among other metrics, the report would include the number and location of districts designated by municipalities, the number of communities authorizing establishments to sell alcohol for off-premises consumption in those districts, and any evidence of increased public safety incidents as a result of extended hours of an on-premise sales. The report would have to be filed by December 31 of this year with findings and recommendations. Just after 2 p.m. last Monday, the House sent a version of the bill back to the Senate that included reporting language, but that maintained a July 31 cutoff for both public consumption and later last calls. The Senate went along with the timeline. While signature events are concentrated in June and July, extending the provision through Labor Day would have allowed local communities to take full advantage of an action-packed summer, Senate President Karen Spilka's office said in a press release. The House and Senate wholly aligned on a provision enabling bars to sell alcoholic beverages on premises for one additional hour beyond the time set forth in the establishment's license, but not to exceed 3 a.m. until July 31, 2026. That provision is subject to approval of the local licensing authority. Meet Boston wrote in June testimony on behalf of the entire travel and hospitality sector in support of the proposal, stating that Boston will be buzzing during World Cup, as will other areas throughout the Commonwealth, and we must step up to ensure that visitors enjoy top-notch service as they create lasting memories that will encourage future and repeat visitation back to Massachusetts. The organization said extended liquor license service hours will undoubtedly be a boon to local and state coffers. Massachusetts Restaurant Association Director of Governmental Affairs Jessica Moore added to the chorus of support, writing that restaurants thrive when surrounding retail and entertainment environments are active and welcoming, and designated social consumption areas can help create vibrant destinations that benefit entire business communities. For our next story, three central Massachusetts employers plan 302 layoffs amid closures. Between two manufacturers and one major healthcare provider, more than 300 employees in central Massachusetts will receive pink slips by the end of the calendar year as their companies are closing up operations. The newest of the layoff announcements comes from Chase Corp, which manufactures protective materials. The company employs approximately 800 people and is headquartered in Westwood. The company is planning on shutting down its Oxford facility at 24 Dana Road and laying off 72 employees, according to a June 1 letter Chase sent to the Massachusetts Executive Office of Labor and Workforce Development. The Chase plant will be closed in phases by product line, with a complete shutdown by December 31. None of the employees are represented by a union. Officials at Chase Corp could not be reached for comment. The company was first established in 1946 and has facilities in the United States, Europe, and Asia. The layoff data comes from Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act notices filed since the start of June. The WARN Act, as it's called, requires companies with 50 or more employees to report planned layoffs to the state government at least 60 days before layoffs or a company closure takes place. The largest of the planned layoffs will take place at the closing of Community HealthLink, an affiliate of UMass Memorial Health in Worcester. CHL plans to lay off 127 workers between its Webster, Worcester, and Leominster locations before the end of July. These numbers have been rising in the weeks since CHL first confirmed its impending closure in April. The last update in May had CHL laying off 84 employees before that number rose to 127 last Thursday. Community HealthLink said in a statement it is engaging in bargaining with the union SEIU Local 509, which represents some of its employees. The bargaining has included discussions about temporary assignments and retention incentives. During this process, CHL's priority is to ensure that our clients and all individuals seeking care across central Massachusetts continue to receive high-quality behavioral health services, Christy Lee, UMass Memorial Media and Public Relations Manager, wrote in a statement to WBJ. We're also committed to supporting caregivers impacted by these changes by helping them identify other positions that are open within the UMass Memorial Health System and collaborating with our community partners on any potential employment opportunity. The second largest planned layoff in the region is slated for Florida-based manufacturer and life sciences firm Jabil, which is closing its Clinton facility. Jabil plans to lay off 103 employees by December 1st. The company said in March it planned to close the facility, but didn't detail how many workers would be impacted. The layoff decision comes after a review of its manufacturing footprint, business demand, and long-term strategic needs. This announcement is in no way a reflection of the hard work and dedication of our employees, Jabil wrote in an unsigned statement. We are actively working to provide impacted employees with transfer opportunities to Jabil's facility in Devens and other U.S. locations. We are committed to supporting employees who will not transfer with severance benefits and career outplacement assistance. They are also encouraged to apply for open positions within the company. These layoffs come as inflation and the rising cost of living has captured much of the public's attention. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, most recent data, energy prices were up 17.9% in April from a year prior. Overall inflation without energy was up 2.8%. The consumer price index was up 3.8%. Updated figures are expected to be released today, in fact. According to the state's Department of Economic Research, unemployment in Worcester County is 4.2%, lower than the state level of 4.7%. And now for a short break.
Would you like to hear news from Bolton, Harvard, Hudson, and Marlborough that you're not likely to hear on commercial television or radio? Then tune into Audio Journal every Thursday at 3 p.m.
Welcome back to the reading of the Worcester Business Journal. It is 11:45 a.m., and we are continuing with the 2025 Power 100. Amy Peterson. Peterson took over one of Worcester's most visible leadership roles when she became general manager of the DCU Center in February. Since the start of last year, the DCU Center has completed $4.6 million in revenue in venue upgrades, including a new sound system and a digital signage, with another $2.1 million rigging project planned. Her focus is attracting high-quality events, conventions, and entertainment acts that drive spending through Worcester's economy. What is one habit powerful leaders should practice every day? Leadership is a behavior, not a title. Powerful leaders should practice deliberate listening, ask thoughtful questions, and remain approachable, adaptable, and resourceful. Why do you do business in Central Mass? As a Worcester native, I care deeply about the community and believe in its future. We are resilient, creative, quirky, and undergoing incredible growth. What is your favorite book on leadership? What to Do When It's Your Turn, and It's Always Your Turn, by Seth Godin. How do you unwind? Group fitness, live events, concerts, and travel. Next person is Alex Matthews. Matthews oversees one of Central Massachusetts' largest tourism destinations, with more than 600,000 annual visitors. Since 2025, Great Wolf Lodge completed a $30 million renovation, maintained occupancy above 90%, and opened the $3 million Otter Cave Waterworks attraction. Matthews is helping lead creation of Regional Tourism Marketing District, an effort designed to attract more visitors, conferences, and economic activity to North Central Massachusetts. What unique skills set you apart from others? I generally enjoy building relationships, listening, and bringing people together around a common goal. Strong teams and communities are built through trust and engagement. What is one habit powerful leaders should practice every day? Be present. Great leaders should spend time listening, asking questions, recognizing great work, and understanding their team's challenges. Why do you do business in Central Mass? The region's location, talented workforce, and collaborative business environment make it an ideal place to invest and grow. Next person is Michael Covino. Covino continues to shape Central Massachusetts' dining scene through a growing collection of restaurants and hospitality concepts. Since 2025, Niche Hospitality expanded Bocado, relocated Mezcal, launched Green Island Oyster Bar, and opened Vivian Coastal Mediterranean and VUE Cocktail Lounge. The latter project suffered a devastating setback when a fire forced its closure shortly after opening. But Covino successfully reopened the concept and restored one of Worcester's most anticipated restaurants. What unique skills set you apart from others? Perseverance. Success in the restaurant business requires adapting to economic changes, shifting consumer taste, and thin margins without wavering from your standards and values. What is one habit powerful leaders should practice every day? Humility. It takes a village to succeed, and leaders should acknowledge mistakes and thank the people who contribute every day. Why do you do business in Central Mass? This is my community. This is where I live and where I raised my family. What is your favorite book on leadership? The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. And the next person is Regina Marshall. A changing of the guard is underway at Advocates. Marshall will succeed longtime CEO Diane Gould in July, inheriting a nonprofit serving more than 40,000 people with developmental disabilities, brain injuries, autism, and mental health challenges. Over the past year, she guided Advocates' strategic planning process, redesigned its organizational structure, strengthened senior leadership, and helped position the organization for the next phase of growth. What unique skills set you apart from others? Being outcome-focused while leading with kindness and empathy has been central to my approach. Strong relationships drive strong results. What is one habit powerful leaders should practice every day? Powerful leaders practice active listening every day, taking time to understand perspectives, concerns, and emotions, build trust, and strengthens decision-making. How do you unwind? Hanging out with my kids, usually at their sports games, or just listening to all the ups and downs of teenage life. I also love watching movies. Next, David Connell. Connell helms one of the region's most visible and trusted nonprofits, with a footprint spanning youth development, child care, workforce programs, public health, and recreation. Since 2025, the YMCA expanded government grants and contracts to more than $14 million annually, served more than 50,000 people, reached a record 36,158 members, and launched its 2030 strategic plan. Under Connell's leadership, the organization has become a key convener for partnerships focused on strengthening communities across central Massachusetts. What unique skills set you apart from others? I lead with a relationship-centered approach and have the ability to convene business, government, philanthropy, and community leaders around shared outcomes. What is one habit powerful leaders should practice every day? Leaders should practice intentional listening every day. It creates trust, improves decision-making, and keeps leaders grounded in the realities facing the people they serve. Why do you do business in Central Mass? Central Massachusetts is defined by resilience, innovation, collaboration, and community pride. Next, Kim Boerick. Boerick took over one of Central Massachusetts' most significant life sciences service companies as a pivotal moment for the drug development industry. Named Veristat's first female CEO in January, she quickly reshaped the company's strategy, completed a $135 million acquisition, expanded international operations, and launched AI-powered tools that reduce some analytical workflows from 5 to 7 weeks to 5 days or less. Her broader goal is equally ambitious, helping pharmaceutical companies bring life-saving therapies to market faster and at lower cost. What unique skills set you apart from others? I take a bird's-eye view to address challenges strategically, then dive into the details to execute. I can see the big picture while understanding the nuance. What is one habit powerful leaders should practice every day? The best leaders stay present and listen carefully. It provides the perspective needed to either step up and lead or create space for others to do so. Why do you do business in Central Mass? The heart of biotech sits in Massachusetts. It's a prime place to find innovative companies and support drug development programs. How do you unwind? Pilates, reading, and cooking. And next, Judit Batra. Batra is moving Waters Corp through an era of aggressive yet disciplined expansion, helping grow the global life sciences and diagnostics company into one of the industry's leaders. Since Batra took the helm of Waters in 2020, the firm has overcome a period of stagnation to deliver meaningful returns to its shareholders, bringing them a five-year total return of 54% through 2025 by simplifying the company's portfolio and pursuing focused merger and acquisition activity. Waters saw 7% sales growth and 11% adjusted earnings growth in 2025. As the firm planned to acquire the biosciences and diagnostic solutions business of New Jersey-based Becton, Dickinson & Company, in $7.5 billion transaction closed in 2026. The largest deal in the company's history sets up Waters for future expansion in high-growth markets, with it expected to double its addressable market to $40 billion. Outside of Waters, Batra has helped shape the local economy as a former chair of the Massachusetts High Technology Council. He remains on the board of Boston Children's Hospital Trust, promoting philanthropic investment. And that is all the time we have for today. You have been listening to the Worcester Business Journal, a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or iPad. This is Joanne, reading with Paul. Thank you for listening.
Did you know that there are many different ways to listen to Audio Journal? You can go to our website, audiojournal.org, and stream us live. Or you can install the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or iPad. Or you can tell your smart speaker to play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn. Or you can dial us at 1-712-770-1043 on your telephone. Or you can turn on your local cable access TV station. You can check our website, audiojournal.org, for the correct channel for your town. And finally, you can use one of our special receivers tuned to Audio Journal's frequency. And if you missed your favorite program, go to our website or the Audio Journal app and listen to podcasts of previously aired programs. Now, if you need assistance with any of these listening methods, please contact us at 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
Are you elderly or disabled? Did you know each WRTA fixed route bus has a number of accessibility features such as a ramp to enter, a kneeler which can lower the bus, a securement area for wheelchairs and other mobility devices, priority seating for people with disabilities, electronic signage on the front, side, and rear exterior, a bicycle rack on the front exterior, an interior stop request sign, automated audio and visual stop announcements. Let us make your transportation needs easier and ride the bus with us. Call us with questions at 508-791-9782 or visit our website at www.therta.com.
Are you or a loved one losing your vision? Mass Commission for the Blind can help. Reclaim your independence with new skills and assistive technologies. Partner with Mass Commission for the Blind to develop your vision for the future. If you're blind or visually impaired, find out if you're eligible to register for services to help you achieve your career and life goals. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCD. That's 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.